Blog Talk Radio.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 2030, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist's real agenda, seeing through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite. You wish. This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah,
Raya. We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Kantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Living Beyond the Matrix, on FreedomizerRadio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
The Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, TGIM, everyone. Another broadcasting week is starting for us, but I'm not alone tonight. We do have Christina joining us, as always, on Monday. And if you out there in Radioland have anything you want to share, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Christina in here.
Thank you, Prue, for the warm welcome. And all joining us.
You're always welcome.
So I guess everybody got a little taste of the eclipse today. Were you able to see it?
We didn't get much of it out here. I tried.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No.
Okay, well, that's true because it was starting in, I guess, Mexico and going up, wasn't it? Yeah, that's true. So you guys probably didn't see much of anything. So
it was crazy
here. There were our major interstates were like jammed. They were jam packed. It was crazy. People trying to get here to see the. To see the eclipse. So, but we actually had a full blackout. So it was pretty neat. I've got pictures. So
yeah,
I mean,
we do not have any blackouts over here.
Okay. It was, the weird thing is, it wasn't, so it got darker, but there was still, like in the horizon, you could see, you know, light. So it wasn't like pitch black, but we were able to take off once the sun was, or the moon had moved perfectly into the middle of the sun, and you could, you didn't see the sun anymore. We were able to take off the, you know, the protective glasses, and you could actually, you could see it. It was pretty cool. So anyway, I'll have to send you some of the videos. But it's those things are fun. Science is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Well, it was
like
nice to, it was nice not have to focus on Brandon for a day.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, just don't think anymore. just be, you know, just try to get all that out of our heads. I mean, yeah. And then I filled my car up today and I was like, oh Lord, $40.
I'm surprised
that
Brandon didn't say that his son Bo died at a solar eclipse.
Yeah, I wonder if he talked about it today at all. So, who knows? Maybe, I wonder if he flew any more illegal migrants into the states on the private flights. Since he's already, you know, flown through, what is it, about 320,000 in?
Yeah.
Secret flights into the U.S. to decrease the number of illegal immigrant encounters. Oh, tell you, it's this has
to
stop.
We normally call that treason.
Yeah, I mean seriously. I mean it is. So it's like, no, you're not going to give. I mean, you know, I feel sorry for the women and the children. We've always talked about that. I feel sorry for the people who truly, you know, do need to come over here to be safe. But all this other stuff going on, no. It's just a play. But, you know, what did I see? Oh, I saw a picture of, it was a poor woman. I'm trying to remember where I saw this. I think earlier today. And she was holding her baby and sitting on the sidewalk, and she was an illegal migrant, and her mom were over here. And, you know, she said, they're not taking care of us. So I'm wondering if you know, I know the reason he's bringing a lot of them in here. It's because they're going to obviously have them try to vote. But, you know, he can't continue to take care of all these people, and I think it's going to backfire on him. But
well, I hope it backfires when we have that national day of deportation when Trump gets in.
Yeah. I was listening to is it Jesse Waters? I think that's Jesse Waters. I was listening to him on PBD today. And, you know, he was talking about that, and he said, maybe it was Patrick. But anyway, they actually have a plan. You know, they were talking about the plan on how they're going to do it. And they're going to put these people, they're going to hire people 24 hours around the clock to provide these services to where the people will have food and air conditioning. You know, it's not like they're going to just kick them to the curb, you know, or kick them across the line and forget about them. No, they're going to comfortably, you know, send them back to their countries. And he goes, well, Venezuela already said he doesn't want any of them back. And he made the remark, Jesse goes, Trump will persuade him to let them come back. So, and I think that's probably true. You know, that's as much as people hate Trump, I'm sorry, he's a great negotiator, you know. So, but he, you know, they have a good plan for it. And it has to be done. I mean, I'm sorry, but no, we're not going to take all of our hard-earned tax dollars that are being put away for our people, for, you know, it's just like, you know, if you look, I look at my parents, you know, no, this money, it all belongs to them. It doesn't belong to these people coming into our country. And I mean, that's what they're doing. They're giving it away. This is crazy. So, and that is, I don't know how that is remotely legal. It makes no sense. So, but we, you know, there's just so much that hasn't made any sense since Biden got in. I mean, it's funny. I keep on seeing video surface from Biden from years ago. And, I mean, he was a racist person. He is just, I swear, this person just isn't even Joe Biden. I mean, or if it's his body, they've, you know, taken his soul. But I don't know. I just know I can't wait for it to be over. Cannot wait. And well,
there's some liberals that might think otherwise.
Yeah, I know. And you're right. I'm kind of frustrated with Kennedy's pick for VP.
Oh, you looked into her.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's obviously very intelligent, and she has a lot of good traits about her. But, you know, what we have to think, what they forget to consider is what happens if somebody shoots Kennedy? You know, what happens if the president-elected is taken down? That vice president is going to have to step up and be president. And it's like, is she going to be able to do that?
Absolutely not.
So, yeah, I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, just like Kamala Harris, it's like, oh, dear Lord. I mean, you know, you think you can't get worse than Biden, but I'm pretty sure she would be worse than Biden. So I don't know. I know the point you made last week as to why you believe he picked her, and well, it sure looks like that could be the case. I mean, I don't know. Like I said,
you were doubting me when I said that too.
I know, and I'm just because I, you know,
you
like
thought
I said,
I was just
I,
being a hater.
No, I just. I like Kennedy, you know, but I'm disappointed in his pick. I really am.
I can't.
So
yeah, I would loosely consider him previously,
yeah.
But now there's no chance in the world.
I mean, why didn't he put her somewhere else? You know, pick a good VP and then put her into your administration if you win, but don't put her as the VP. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, but
unless
she hangs out with Alex Soros, so there's money where that comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize her ex-husband was one of the founders of Google.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess maybe that's where she's gotten a lot of her money. I don't know. But I guess we still don't know who Trump is going to nominate yet, right? He still hasn't announced it?
No, he hasn't announced
it. Good grief. I don't know what he's waiting on. I guess he's actually, maybe he's being smart. Maybe he's really trying to figure out who the best candidate
is. Is there a reason to make your pick now? There isn't.
Right. I guess you're right. No, that's true. So.
Because you realize as soon as he makes that pick, that person is going to start having lawsuits.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, honestly, if we could take all the money that has been spent on these ridiculous lawsuits in for so many things. And, you know, all the things like the illegal migrants and just everything. I mean, can you imagine what good that money could have gone to? I mean, Americans are struggling right now, so many of them. And it just seems like Biden doesn't care unless you're a transgender. If you're a transgender.
Or illegal.
Yeah, or an illegal. That's true. You know. So I still think about hearing that migrant talk about how he kept going in and out of the country to get another check. Just, I'm like, oh my goodness. But you know, I was also looking, you know, I saw that post today about all the countries that would require photo IDs to vote. I'm
yeah.
sure you saw that too. So did you know that 42 out of our 50 states do not require a photo ID to vote?
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, that's insane. So what's to keep a person from getting someone else's voter registration card and just walking in and voting?
Nothing.
So that's messed up. It's messed up. And you know what? Anybody that wants to have legit voting done right, they wouldn't care if we required photo IDs. Why wouldn't anybody that wants to do it correctly, why wouldn't they want people to have photo IDs? It's not hard to get a legal photo ID in this country.
Well, according to the liberals, it is.
No, the only thing that keeps somebody from getting a photo ID in this country is pure laziness. I'm sorry, I know. I've dealt with a lot of these people, and I know exactly what's going on. So it's time for a new America, that's for sure. Or it's time for a return to who America really is. You know, get rid of all the, you know, and more and more, I'm so tired of seeing these self-checkout lanes at stores now. I mean, are all these here now? We have, it's all self-checkout except for one. They have one person up there. And I mean, how come people can't see that they are doing nothing for Americans?
Well, because roughly 40% of America either believes in the smell-o-vision or thinks that Biden is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
You know, the greatest thing Brandon ever did was he took over for Trump, and that's all these people need. It doesn't matter if gas is $10 a gallon or you can't afford to eat. His greatest accomplishment is he beat Trump.
Yeah.
That's the liberal mindset. They're proud of not owning anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, what's wrong with people?
The ID cards are racist. There's a clip. It's a little long. It's over 15 minutes. But Charlie Kirk got into it with a college girl that says ID cards are racist. And I wanted to play that.
Oh, wow.
So we could piggyback off that.
So let me ask you a question. So in the CRT literature, what do they think of white people or whiteness?
Who would you like me to quote?
Kimberly Crenshaw.
I haven't read Kimberly Crenshaw.
She says that whiteness is a cancer or a toxin on our society.
The concept of whiteness, the racial concept of whiteness.
Okay, so what is whiteness?
What is whiteness?
Yeah, define it.
As Kimberly Crenshaw would probably say, the sort of construction of privilege that comes with being white in this country.
Right. So what privilege do you and I as white people have that black people don't have?
Yeah, great question. On applications that are blindly judged, white-sounding names are often given the job more. They're paid
Not
more.
Not true. In fact, it's the opposite. There's black privilege right now. It's called affirmative action, where underqualified blacks are taking Asians and white people's places in universities across the country. True or false?
True.
Okay, so yeah, there's black privilege, not white privilege in this country.
I actually don't think affirmative action is how we address education inequality.
Okay, well, that affirmative action is still largely supported by the CRT regime. But let's get back to CRT, to the essence of it.
Sure.
CRT believes in one manifestation of its ideology is black-only dormitories. So white people are not allowed. Do you believe in black-only dormitories?
No, and I don't have to agree with every aspect of an ideology to argue for it.
So then what part of CRT do you like? Because they call whiteness a toxin, black-only dormitories, and if you want to talk about like ideological or intellectual sloppiness, the 1619 Project...
I think it's very sloppy.
Okay, we agree. Nicole Hannah-Jones.
I think it's overstated, and I think some
parts
are inaccurate.
Okay, good.
The parts of CRT that I think are most relevant and, you know, very factually, there's a lot of evidence for them, is the fact that previous inequalities, such as the institution of slavery, such as our treatment of Native Americans, do, in fact, affect those populations today. And you were saying before, in, you know, inner cities, there's a lot more crime. And a lot of that is because of redlining and other, like, practices that come directly from the mistreatment of minorities previously in this country.
So I want to make sure I understand. So black people make up 13% of the American population.
Oh, 13.50, my favorite.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Why do they commit 55% of all the murders?
Super great question. It's basically a very complex intersection of race and economic status. It's pretty well known that minority people tend to be in a lower economic status because of discrimination.
Why don't poor Asians commit a lot of murders?
Also a great question. Asian people weren't originally brought to America on purpose like black people, and they weren't already present here like natives.
So blacks murder because they were brought here 250 years ago?
No, I would like to finish.
Okay, just answer. It's very simple. Black.
I am answering.
No, I know, but you're not really.
I am. Asian Americans predominantly immigrate here for work reasons. They come from already wealthy countries. They're already wealthy when they get here. Crime is committed primarily
by
poorer
people. First
of all,
that's not true. Talk to anybody from who's that Vietnamese? Anybody? Did your family come here wealthy?
No.
Yes and no.
Not wealthy, but not.
Yes or no?
I'm not saying they come
no.
here. Okay.
The average Vietnamese does not come here wealthy.
I'm not. Okay. I perhaps misspoke, not wealthy, but a lot of the, you know, you complain about it all the time. A lot of the immigration from countries that border us, right, it's sort of desperate people who are of a lower economic status, right, and they're coming here for a better life.
So two things. Number one, there's been more blacks that have legally immigrated to this country in the last 30 years than were ever brought as slaves. That's number one. Number two, you still haven't answered the question.
I'm trying to.
why?
It's a complicated answer.
Black people are only 13% of the population, yet they commit 55% of the murders. Why?
Because black people tend to be in lower economic statuses because of
this
CRT.
Is fine. This is great.
Basically.
So you think that poverty equals crime?
I think that it's highly correlated, and there's a lot of studies on
this. This is where we
that.
Disagree. What an insult to the working poor
so
of this
why
country.
Why do you think black people commit more crime,
Charlie?
Well,
first of all, let me ask you a question as my
answer.
Go on. What percentage of blacks have a father around when they're raised?
I'm not sure.
20%. 80% of blacks do not have a stable father around. That is the most predictable way to end up in prison, end up as a murderer or a criminal.
And
it's not a racism
problem.
It's not a white supremacy problem. It's a fact that black fathers impregnate women and they don't stay around with the women they have impregnated.
Charlie Kirk, do you think that happens more in the black community compared to others?
It's threefold. Number one, we subsidize single motherhood. Number two, it's culture. It's accepted in the black community, and it shouldn't
be. Culture. Okay.
Don't take my word for it. Read Thomas Sowell's own book on how black culture allows single motherhood to continue into a nanny state type practice. 75% of black youth are raised without a father in the home. 75%. Is that a bigger problem or not a bigger problem than whiteness, white privilege, or white supremacy? How
they
can
should
you
all be addressed, and they're all related.
Okay, how is a white person to blame for the fact that 75% of blacks...
Oh, individual white people aren't at all to blame.
Okay, we agree.
Yeah.
So, but wouldn't it be more like smarter to be like, hey, that this is not about systemic racism? Like, stop impregnating your women and abandoning them?
Well, the way to incentivize not impregnating women and abandoning them is increasing access to health care, into housing, into everything that we know increases those outcomes for people.
So we have spent $30 trillion on the social welfare system since 1965. Black people are poorer, and the single motherhood went from 25% to now 75 to 80%. So the more money we've spent on Black America, the less fathers we have, because Black women divorced Black men and married the government.
And do you think that's a problem inherent to Black people?
No, it's not. It's happening now in white communities and Hispanic communities. It's just the worst in Black America.
And why do you think that is?
Why is it the worst in Black America? There's also a cultural problem. There is, and
okay,
we have to be
so
honest
just,
about
it's
it.
It's just that Black people are
No, let me ask you a question.
Like
the average music that a Black person in Compton is listening to, is it about contemplating the good, the true, and the beautiful, or is it about being a gangbanger and trying to get as much money and sleep with as many girls as you can?
I would actually like to think that's a – I would be offended by that.
Do you think the average Black kid in Compton is listening to Beethoven or some sort of gangster rap music that glorifies gangster culture?
Silly question. Rap wasn't created to glorify gangster culture. So even though there is rap,
I mean,
I'm
you're
sure
not answering, you're dodging the question because...
Okay, I'm sure they're listening to rap.
Okay.
So you think rap music makes them leave their mom?
Do you think the cultural expectation in Black America is that you stay with the woman that you impregnate?
Within Black communities? I can't speak on that.
Okay. The answer is no. It's not. It's not expected.
Okay. And do you
In white Anglo-Saxon Protestant communities, it's a fact. Hold on. In upper middle class white communities.
Upper middle class. Say that part louder.
Yeah. Upper middle class white Anglo-Saxon Protestant communities, if you impregnate a woman, you are looked down upon and we do not think highly of you if you abandon the woman that you impregnate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cultural difference. Has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with anything except norms. And the norms that have infected Black America are destroying it from within. We need more fathers, not less. We need more dads around and less drag queen story hour. We need more young Blacks to be able to look up to role models that are not leaving all the time and are not just saying, hey, I impregnated her, so be it. It's a toxin, and if we don't address that as the root cause, it's white supremacy, it's injustice, it's economics, we're dancing around the core of the issue.
I guess what I'm saying is, right, and you've perfectly actually laid out the dichotomy here, it is a fact, obviously, that Black people disproportionately commit crime in this country, no one's arguing that, but you either believe that that is due to a complex intersection of social, economic, and like leftover effects from previous inequalities, or you believe that that is an inherent trait to the race.
No, I don't, because they weren't that way in the 1940s and 50s. Black America was one of the most peaceful, flourishing, fastest growing economically communities in the country. It's not genetic. You're trying to point something on me that I don't believe. Instead,
but then
Black America...
you do
America,
believe that it's not
on.
Genetic, so you do think CRT is correct.
Hold on a second. In the 1940s and 1950s, Black America was prosperous and was on pace to be richer and wealthier than white America. More dads were staying with the women that they were with, there was monogamy. What changed?
You're supporting my argument.
No, hold on. But what? Answer the question. What changed? Did America get more racist since 1950?
I would argue there were more racist policies passed. There were more policies dedicated
in
to winding off
the
1950s, and pushing them into poor housing and poor schools.
Wait a second. In the 1950s, Jackie Robinson had not even broken the color barrier. We had Jim Crow laws. We hadn't passed the Civil Rights Act, and we hadn't passed the Voting Rights Act. Yet Blacks were better in the 1950s per capita than they are today. So we have become less racist, we've passed more anti-racist laws, and given more stuff, and Blacks are worse than they were 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Why?
So you're equating here institutional and social racism. Social racism was certainly worse in the 1950s, I'm sure everyone would agree, but institutional racism occurs when policies are passed against people.
Come on.
Which can increase over time, and it did.
You're not being intellectually honest. You know that. There was Black-only drinking fountains in the 1950s. We don't have those anymore. Well, we're bringing them back with, you know, Black-only dormitories, but we had, for example, in the antebellum South in the 1950s, we had white-only communities, white by law. We got rid of that with the Civil Rights Act. But it didn't, unfortunately, we look around, the numbers speak for themselves. Black youth are less likely to have fathers. They're not doing as well as far as economically. They commit more crime. So something changed. And our argument is what changed is three things. Number one, the imposition of the Great Society Project by Lyndon Baines Johnson of spending $30 trillion since 1960s on Section 8 housing, on welfare, on, you know, all sorts, where, as I said, that young black women married the government and they divorced young black men. And then we also have had, as Thomas Sowell and as Clarence Thomas would say, the soft bigotry of low expectations. And we have been afraid to get to the root of the issue or even speak about it because we don't be called a racist.
So who, what is imposing those low expectations?
Part of it is like white academic culture. I'll give you an example. I'm not saying you believe this, but Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, has come out and said having an ID to vote is racist.
That
is code for saying black people are too dumb to get a voter ID.
You're doing it again. You're simplifying a very nuanced, complex argument from the real people who are making it.
Is voter ID racist?
Obviously not, Charlie.
Okay, all right.
Do you want to know where the argument comes from? I can eloquently tell you.
Eloquently tell me why voter ID is racist.
Great.
Or whatever.
Certain policies in southern states were proposed that would, like, I think the quote from the person who decided the case was with surgical precision, target the times where black people were voting and make it like illegal or harder for them to get that to come at that time. And then they were targeting the type of ID that black voters had and making that specific type of ID illegal. That is racist.
Perfectly fair. How does that impact today, saying that every citizen, if you need an ID to vote, just that aside, why is it racist?
Because we have to have, you know, obviously humans are making those decisions, right? And so if there is still institutional racism and people in power that are racist, we can't trust those institutions to make those decisions.
What institutional racism do we have in this country right now?
What you just named it.
What?
1350.
Affirmative
action needs to happen because there is not that many minorities in these higher education institutions.
Okay, so you're being clear, which is then you lower standards.
No.
That's affirmative action always
that.
Does. Affirmative action lowers standards by definition.
Saying why affirmative action was introduced. I'm not arguing for it.
Were you asking me why it was introduced? Or
no, I'm saying you agree that's why it was introduced.
Well, I agree why it was. I don't think it ever should have been, but yes.
Right,
I mean,
but there is institutional inequality, yes?
Well, I wouldn't even use the word inequality. I mean, I don't love looking at it that way, but of course, white people generally are richer than black people in this country.
Richer and more represented in politics and schools, yes?
Somewhat yes and no.
Why do you think that is,
no.
Charlie?
Well, hold on a second. Let's ask the question here. Represented how? So, I mean,
look at congressmen.
So, no, hold on a second. Are white people represented fairly in the National Basketball Association?
Who cares? What political
power
does the
national... Hold on, I thought we're all about fair representation.
Listen.
I think that it should, by law, half of the NBA should be white.
Great, fine.
And the product would suck.
Lobby for it.
Because
I don't
blacks
care.
Are much better at basketball than we whites are.
What political power does the NBA have?
A lot, actually. The NBA reaches millions of people every day. They have slogans that people internalize. In fact, if the NBA had no political power, why would they have to wear Black Lives Matter on all their jerseys? Why would politicians try to get their endorsements all the time? The NBA is more powerful than Congress in some ways of shaping the minds.
Okay, I think it's
minds.
Your turn to be academically dishonest.
Hold on
now,
a second.
Sure.
No, no. But if you want fair representation, just to be clear, then why would you not be against whites by law being half of the National Basketball Association? Right now, black people make up 88% of the NBA.
Do it, great. Who cares?
No,
I don't care.
But,
I'm saying,
okay.
Right, so here's my point.
All right,
if we have
I have a shot, everybody.
Please listen. If we,
I could play for the Lakers.
I hope you do it, Charlie. I'll come to your games. I'll do it.
The point is this, is that merit should triumph over all
which
of it.
Which is awesome. Okay, so merit should triumph. We agree.
Okay.
Okay, Charlie, do you think black people are not as smart or
absolutely
competent as
not.
White people? Perfect.
No.
So they should, in theory, then be equally represented
no,
in
they,
positions
no,
of
but,
power.
No, hold on. Let me, so have you ever read Discrimination and Disparities by Thomas Sowell?
You only read Thomas Sowell. You've quoted him like three times. I haven't read
no,
that.
No, I read a lot more than Thomas Sowell, but I'm happy to. Thomas Sowell's the only intellectual with the courage to go after like these core issues of why black America has fallen behind and why no one actually has studied it. So let's just give a great example. When you don't have a father in the home, the amount of words that a child hears goes down by 60 to 70%. The amount of words that a child, I don't know if you're a mother or not, or,
no.
or plan to be, okay. No, just, it's an important point. The amount of words that an 18-month-year-old hears is highly predictive of IQ, verbal development. Okay, so that's simple. When you don't have a dad in the home, the mom is overwhelmed and there's just less interaction with the child.
That's all fine.
Okay, so you, we agree. I'm just saying that is, that's not because of racism.
That's true. Obviously,
no, that's fine.
That's good.
No, she, I know what you meant. But you have a father in the home. All of a sudden, they hear thousands of more words a day, and they're like way further ahead of a single motherhood, a single mother raising a child. That's not racism.
Okay, so dads are good. Yes, great.
Okay.
What my question
I'm
to
saying
you
dads
is,
actually answer most of the questions that you might have about why Black America is falling behind.
Okay, but
because their dads don't stay around, and that's
bad. I'm trying to sort of get you to reconcile your own beliefs, and if that's true, which is fine, that's true. We can say that's true. You either believe that that has social and economic causes, or you believe that, oh, Black culture is just worse.
No,
and there isn't
I think
another
that
thing to think.
No,
those
I was
options.
Very clear. Right now, Black culture is being held captive by influences, songs,
which
and
influences?
Role models. I mean, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B.
Okay, Nicki Minaj is causing dads to leave the home.
Hold on a second. I don't think that's a good role model for 18-year-old Black girls. I don't think that songs that are talking about, like, glorifying wet female genitalia is exactly, I don't know which one wrote that song. Which one was it?
I think it was Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But by the way, the role models of the 1940s and 50s for Black America were completely different.
It is a representation issue.
Hold on a second. No, not representation. It's who do you get your art from? It's what values are they putting forward? It's the question of every day, for example, more times than not, Black politicians will lament the condition of America. It's systemically racist. It's terrible. What does that do to a 14-year-old Black kid if you just find that you hear that everything is rigged against you? Instead, they should be saying, hey, there might be some barriers, but if you believe in yourself enough, you can achieve in this country. It creates a form of social conditioning of low expectations, and that's not my argument. You know whose argument that is? Barack Obama's.
I don't necessarily agree with everything
Obama
you said either, man.
Barack Obama said, number one, we need more fathers in the home. This is when Barack Obama
Barack
didn't go
Obama's
super woke.
Barack Obama's a liberal. I don't care what he's got to say.
Okay, but Barack Obama then secondly, he said that we can't keep telling our Black youth that you can't succeed in this country. Anybody can succeed in this country. And Obama was right when he said that. Obama was correct when he said that we need to change the story we're telling Black America.
Which is fine. I've never heard any teacher look at a Black person and say, oh, you can't succeed because of racism.
Hold on a second.
Though.
But what is the embedded message of all the propaganda saying it's systemically racist, you're going to run into racist employers, that they're going to discriminate against you? It creates this heaviness of why even try.
By the time college students rigged. Get to college, they've experienced all that. They don't need to be told.
You think that the average – I'm curious. You think that the average Black student at this university experiences, like, active daily racism? I'd be curious. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's as bad as it was in the antebellum South. So.
I'm not saying that, obviously.
Okay.
I did say social racism improved. I'm saying institutional racism is still present, and that's what's causing lower outcomes for minority communities.
Do you think the reason why – only 20 to 25%, it depends, we don't know the number, it's just a range per year.
Sure.
So 1 in 4 of Black youth have a stable father around. What would you just say is the big, why is that the reason?
A complex intersection of social and economic reasons, which are outlined in CRT.
Okay. Thank you for the dialogue. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So I hope you appreciated that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what she's studying, but no, racism is not the cause for what's going on. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just ridiculous that people are using that still. Oh, so we just need more morals, period, everywhere. But it's true. I've heard that argument, or I've heard that, you know, discussed many times. It's true that the males do not stay. And like I said, I've experienced that too. I know. My customer base, I can't tell you how many single Black moms that
I had as a customer that I would try to help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, very big fact. So I do believe that is a problem, a huge problem. And you know, in all fairness, you know, when they were talking about the pop star, like the music pop stars, I mean, they're awful. They really are. But even the white ones, it's like there's not many of them that are good for anyone. I mean, the lyrics, the dance, everything is just so vulgar anymore and so void of anything good, of anything moral. I mean, it's scary because, you know, music is very influential, and especially to even young children. And I don't know, I cringe when my grandsons are listening to rap and some of the music and stuff. It just, I mean, I have to say that the rap is the worst. I mean, the language that they use, you know, what they talk about. I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't even want to listen. I don't even want to hear them, you know, hear those songs in the presence of children. I don't want to listen to them myself. It's awful. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, my grandchildren sit there and listen to the songs, but there are some rap songs that are very popular that they play on the radio, and you know, they hear them, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. So, you know, I hear stuff like that, and I'm like, and people wonder why there's so many problems. So...
See, and it's not necessarily rap for me, because they're maybe the 80s and the early 90s, the party rap is different.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think we rapped before the gangster rap came out.
Yes.
Because I can understand the 80s with the Boogie Down Bronx with Grandmaster Flash and White Lines and things like that, and then...
Yeah.
Nobody can ever hate on the Humpty Dance.
Right. Right. Yeah, no.
See, there was a time when there was fun rap out there, like Parents Just
uh-huh.
Don't Understand or Rob Bass with It Takes Two. But then it gravitated to gangster rap, and then it went from gangster rap to rap without even having a purpose. And now,
yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Oh. I'll have to come up with that one. I have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I can't name you any current music anymore. And I studied Billboard charts like crazy, and that was fun for me.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I
don't even, honestly, I don't really listen to much music anymore. I mean, unless it's, I pull up like satellite radio and stuff and listen to like the 60s, the 70s, you know, the 80s. It's like this new stuff, you can have it. You can have it. So it's frustrating that, I mean, I know there's a few decent artists out there, but boy, it's not like it used to be, that's for sure. It's for darn sure. So
I understand, and I used to go to the Coachella music festivals on a regular basis. But when you have someone like Doja Cat that's headlining,
uh-huh.
I can't do it.
No, I mean, and even, you know, Taylor Swift she pretty much was pretty harmless, but even now she's doing some songs that are just like, I'm like, really? Come on.
Well, when George Soros pays $900 million for the rights to her catalog, then of course it goes that way.
And I mean, and look at what happened to freaking Miley Cyrus. I mean, and Britney Spears. You know, all these people, they had, you know, they had a lot of young followers. And then they turn into these freaks. And it's just like, doesn't anyone have a sense of responsibility anymore? I mean, seriously. It's like, do you not care what your influence is doing to these children?
Well, Madonna didn't care 40 years ago, so I guess.
Well, that's true. I suppose that's true. Oh, but by the way, talking about, mentioning Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus, whatever happened to Christina Aguilera?
Let's see. She was on The Voice a few years ago, and...
Oh, that's right.
From there, I have no clue.
Yeah, it's kind of like she just sort of kind of disappeared. Huh. So, you know what's funny is Howard Stern's, you know, or Stern, it's just Stern, I guess. Boy, they really are trying to keep that hush, aren't they? There are so many people. That said he died. It seems like it to me anyway. There's still a lot of people out there that don't even know that he died.
Howard Stern died? I didn't know that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you did. What? You did not know that either?
How long ago?
Just like a week or two ago.
Where'd you hear this? Because I didn't.
Hold on. I started to say.
I'm not a fan of his by any stretch of the imagination, but I didn't hear that he.
It says radio personality known for the Howard Stern Show dies.
Did you watch some fake news by any chance?
I don't know. Were they not talking about Howard Stern?
There was one of his sidekicks that passed away 6 days
Maybe
ago or whatever,
what
age 55.
This is really weird.
Maybe that's it.
So was it one of those maybe? Radio personality known for Howard Stern Show dies. Oh, is that, it's somebody that, well now wait a minute, son of a gun. Well, they got me on that one. Oh, okay, radio personality known for the Howard Stern Show dies at 55.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then somebody, I saw Howard Stern had died, so it probably got twisted, no doubt. So I have to go back. Somebody ask about that and tell them I was misinformed.
Okay.
Because remember last week I mentioned how, you know, Howard Stern was, he was one of those that, or you had told me, I think, that he was the one that probably took every shot you could get and that he was saying people that didn't get him should like be refused health care and all this stuff.
Right. I remember that. Yes.
So, jeez. Oh, boy. Okay. Boy, I really hate when that happens. All right. So now I know that's all messed up. Okay, so Howard Stern is still alive. Okay.
Not that I care.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. So I bet a lot of people misunderstood that, the same thing.
thought it was
you're
him.
You're the first person that I've heard talk about it.
Well, I had somebody else tell me, did you hear Howard Stern died? And I was like, no. Oh. And then I saw a couple things, and I'm like, interesting. But like I said, it could have been one of those things. Somebody could have said that, because that happens a lot. But I'm usually better at that. I usually go and check it. I usually go and double check if it's a star that died, because there's been so many times where they've said people have died. And, you know, I remember Bon Jovi. I mean, I remember one time they had said that he passed, and I was like, what? And I looked it up, and it was not true. So, all right. Well,
maybe it's time for Mr. Broccoli.
Oh, I got it up and ready.
Already? Okay.
Yep.
Did you watch it yet?
No. Nope, I was saving it.
Okay. So in this episode, Broccoli Man's getting ready to go home for the night, and a wiretap sees him and wants to arrest him, as usual. So the episode is called Math and Gendering. So we'll go ahead and play it. For those of you out there who have not seen Broccoli Man yet, there's hundreds of them. You could find them all on Rumble. Just look up Broccoli Man. And if you watch the video, please comment down below, because if you comment, then it'll open up to more people out there. So these videos need thousands of hits, not 12. All right, so let's go ahead and play it. So 3, 2, 1, action.
I can't believe it snowed again. Normally it is 70-something degrees here by now. All these Democrat voters think that the reason for global cooling is global warming. Anyway, it looks like I can go home now and make a quick dinner before bed. Nothing like a good linguine and clams with a side of sautéed broccoli for a reward after working all day fighting globalists. I can't believe Brandon is allowing all these criminals from around the world to come into the United States. Especially ones from Haiti's army that is serving that guy they call barbecue.
Hey, what up, green dude? It's a great night to take you in my 1993 Geo Metro to go to G. Globalist Lair. Fancy meeting you here, sir.
Hey, wiretap. What is it you want this time?
Your green dude, guess what? We just announced we put out the bird flu gene therapy. We have reason to believe that the bird flu will be operational any day now. The whole world will now be getting the bird flu gene therapies. We finna be and is making trillions of dollars and taking away freedoms again, sir.
Do what?
Now we can start exporting these gene therapies fresh from a Wuhan laboratory that the United States taxpayers are still funding even today. This time we have the gene therapies ready to go before the virus is even released in real time. All those delts and nincompoops out there will thank Brandon for getting these gene therapies out so soon. He will look like a bloody hero for forcing that bisonich on all you fools and something that cares, or else you will be going to a FEMA camp. Even though FEMA camps do not exist. We need to make sure all you Trump supporters absolutely cannot vote in this upcoming election.
Why would you want to put all the Trump supporters in FEMA camps?
The green dude. Easy, sir. FEMA camps do not exist.
But you think you will be able to put 100 million people behind bars?
Absolutely, sir. It will be for your safety, sir. And now we can force all you something that cares to put those bloody scams back on that face.
Never.
I was not asking, sir. That is a full-fledged demand. You will be getting that bloody scam on that face right this instant. Even if I has to put that on that face myself. As one of the 99%, you will be listening to our orders.
We are already not complying with COVID's. Why on earth do you think we will comply with this new bird flu you just invented?
Well, sir, we have to put COVID's to rest right now. No one is believing us on COVID's. The gene therapies are no longer selling. So now we have to roll out the red carpet for a brand new disease that we have been working on. All you fuss budgets will now be just lining up to get a brand new gene therapy. And us 1% S will be just laughing all the way to the bank as the 99% perish for taking those mRNA gene therapies.
I don't think that is going to work.
I do think that is going to work. By the way, sir, I need to check you for COVID. Please drop those dungarees so I can stick that Q-tip from American Gladiators up your bunghole.
You can believe I won't be doing that. Just like you know 2 plus 2 is 4.
Sir, did you just math me green, dude? That was the most racist thing you have told my ear canal since you told me that a Republican can be this black.
You mean Clarence Thomas? Yes, he is black and a conservative. So is Tim Scott.
How dare you, green dude? You are the most racist person on planet Earth. You should know by now that math is racist, and you double down by saying Clarence Thomas and Tim Scott is black. Have you no shame, sir? You just committed a very serious hate crime, sir. Let's take you right to jail post haste. Now come out with your pants down so I can have a look-see at your kumquats.
Please do tell me. How is math racist?
That's easy, sir. You have white privilege because you know how to do math. You know black people cannot do math. So off to jail you go for being racist. You now have 3 cases against yourself, sir.
So if that is the case, how do you know how many fake cases you have against me? Were you just using math, big guy?
That was another big mistake. You just misgendered me, sir. You just proved you are homophobic, sir. My pronouns are all/everyone. Your misgendering me right this instant was more dangerous than 15 solar eclipses and 27 nuclear bombs.
If me calling you what you are, a guy, was that dangerous, then why are we both still standing here? Why are there no mushroom clouds of doom around us?
You should also know by now that you wearing pants, especially blue jeans, is the second biggest cause of climate change, only behind white supremacy. So in order to protect against climate change, please do provide me your dungarees, your underoos, your blouse, and your bra. I need to search inside your kumquats and your ice cream cone for any machine guns, any hand grenades, or any Bible verses inside your junk. I will make you a deal, sir. If you take off your pantaloons, I shall do same, sir.
Hey, wiretap. I think you just misgendered me. My pronouns are liberty/freedom. Let's go ahead and bring you to jail. I hope you can share a jail cell with Diddy.
Sorry, sir. I did not mean to misgender you, sir. Please do not tell G. Lobist. He hates when I misgender him. Having genders are only for Republican voters. I do not even know what a woman is. Maybe we can work something out, sir. Me love you long time, green dude.
Anyway, I am thinking about stopping for some coffee and then cooking dinner.
Great, sir. Now I has the upper hand again. You keep stepping in it. Coffee is extremely racist, sir. First it was you doing math. Then it was the poor choices of words as by saying black people can be this conservative. And now you want to drink coffee? Have you no shame, sir? You need to get those underoos on the ground right next to my person. I need to see if you are hiding any fast food employees making less than $20 an hour inside your ice cream cone, green dude.
Hey, that's great. So how many cases do you have against me now?
I do not know, sir. Math is racist and homophobic. Now I need to check your bunghole for any Tootsie Rolls that might contain curvage, sir.
Hey everyone. Please get educated. Do not let people vote for communists. Stay up to date on all the scams the liberal fake news wants to tell you. Check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to be aware of. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. There are other shows on the network too. Just check the schedule and find the other shows on Freedomer Radio.
You best not be just telling people to listen to Proof Negative. Whoever listens to Proof Negative is just dolts and fuss budgets that do not think I have the authority to diddle childrens and read X-rated books to them at drag queen story time. You need to eat the bugs and owns nothing while this 1% owns everything and rule over you worthless chum buckets. Now go watch fake news and show me your nether regions right this instant. We are coming for those children, so you best surrender them to me or else you are finna bees is going to those FEMA camps. That they do not exist. How dare you listen to freedomizerradio.com and not take your gene therapies.
Alright, so that was an episode.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know how you come up with those every week. Those are great.
Well, I just try to keep it going.
Last week, I don't know if I mentioned this. It was one of the other things. Did you hear about Florida passes the law banning social media for children under 14 years old?
No, I didn't see that.
I think that's awesome. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, I think it's very dangerous, I think, for kids to be on social media. Yeah. Probably even dangerous after 14, but at least they, you know, by then you can instill in them the dangers and, you know, what they should and shouldn't do. So... But it said, where'd it go? It says, Florida has passed a law banning children under 14 years old from having social media accounts regardless of parental consent. It says it will take effect January 1st, 2025. Social media corporations must close accounts used by minors under 14 as well as cancel accounts at the request of parents or minors. Interesting. So it says minors who are 14 or 15 will be able to acquire a social media account with parental consent. Accounts already belonging to teens within that age must be deleted if parents do not give their consent. Interesting. That's good.
Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. So, but let's see, what else was I? So
hey, I need 3 or 4 minutes here. So, do you want me to play a clip, or do you want to go on?
It doesn't matter. Did you want to play the? Yeah, did you get the one downloaded that I sent? That kind of
was
giving
you back. I can't find it. I thought I did.
You can't find it. Okay. All right.
But if you want to play it off of your computer, that's fine.
Okay. I might do that, or I might go into one of these articles. But let me see if I have it up again. Okay. Sounds good. All right, guys. Bear with me here. I'm trying to locate an article.
Oh, there it is. So lately, and thank God, there have been many, many medical experts and scientists, a lot of the physicians and world-renowned experts that were such before COVID started, and then after COVID happened, so many of them were suppressed because they were choosing to, you know, take people's health into their own hands and say, no, you know, the vaccine isn't the answer. These treatments aren't the answer. We are treating people and we are having success. And they, you know, started coming up with great protocols that were saving lives. And when they, you know, they were trying to share the information and let people know, you know, these treatments are really working. We don't need to be afraid anymore. And, you know, they had proof. They weren't losing patients. Their protocols were working. And so many of them were shunned. So anyway, now that a lot of the truth has come out about these gene therapies, these doctors are now being heard. And there's many, many more physicians stepping up to say, you know, this is what we're witnessing in our clinic. You know, the people that have had these shots, this is what's going on. And, you know, the coroners, what they're seeing. And so finally, the truth is coming out. The facts are coming out. And, I mean, every day now I hear, you know, more and more evidence of things that's happening. And so there's another study recently that literally just linked the gene therapies to a rare neurological disorder that causes pain, muscle atrophy, and paralysis. Now, my dad, God love him, I love him to death, but I tried my best to talk him out of getting the shots. You know, it's not like I'm raw to any of this. I've studied and kept up with this type of information for like 35 plus years. So I wasn't just winging it. I wasn't just being ridiculous. I had reasons for saying, you know, do not get these experimental jabs. And anyway, he did take two of them, and thank God he didn't take any more. But he has had some really bad neurological issues. He's been in a lot of pain. He can barely walk anymore. And I don't know if it's related, but I'm suspicious that it probably has something to do with it. But anyway, so there's a new systematic review suggesting that the Wuhan coronavirus gene therapy could trigger a rare neurological disorder that primarily affects the nerves outside the central nervous system, causing pain, muscle atrophy, and in some cases, paralysis. So on March 14th, this medical journal, it was published in the medical journal called Vaccines, which here we go again, you know, they've redefined what a vaccine is, because a gene therapy is not a vaccine. It's a complete different technology. So, you know, they do these things, and they know that the average person out there is not going to, you know, understand any of this. So they know they can get away with it. And boy, did they. They've gotten away literally with, in my opinion, I call this genocide. So they posted the paper, and researchers found that Prasanich-Turner syndrome, PTS, may occur after injection of all gene therapy types and can recur with additional doses of similar or unrelated gene therapies. PTS or neuralgic, I don't know if I'm going to say all these words right, amyotrophy is a disorder affecting the peripheral
the peripheral nervous system characterized by the rapid onset of severe pain followed by significant muscular atrophy. It primarily affects the skull, shoulder, upper limbs, and the chest wall on one side of the body. According to the National Organization for Rare Disorders, PTS affects the brachial plexus, a network of nerves that controls movement and sensation in the shoulders and arms. In some instances, nerves in the legs can also be involved. And this is where my dad's having issues. It said people who experience PTS usually have intense, constant pain that worsens with movement and can last anywhere from a few hours to several weeks. Some people may experience symptoms for a year or longer, and most recover within 2 years. As the pain subsides, it is usually replaced by progressive weakness or paralysis. The individual may also experience muscle atrophy, absent or reduced reflexes, or a loss of sensation. The exact cause of PTS is unknown, but the study suggests at least 50% of PTS attacks are brought on by a triggering event such as an infection, medical procedure, excessive physical activity, or vaccination. Although some individuals recover without treatment, others experience recurrent episodes. It's sickening. I'm trying to see if they have the details here to determine whether a relationship exists between COVID-19 gene therapies and the development of PTS. Researchers searched LIT COVID, a system for tracking literature regarding COVID-19 and the World Health Organization's database. The scouring of the database found 59 reported cases of PTS following COVID-19 gene therapies. Of those 59 cases, 36 patients received an mRNA gene therapy and 18 patients received a viral vector gene therapy. Of those 36 patients who received an mRNA gene therapy, 24 received Pfizer and 10 received Moderna. Of the 18 patients who received the viral vector, 15 received AstraZeneca and 2 received the Johnson & Johnson. 5 patients received an unknown gene therapy type. After performing casualty assessment, researchers found 32 cases were possibly caused by the gene therapies, 22 cases after mRNA vaccination, 7 cases after viral vaccination, 3 cases where the vaccine was unknown. So there is more information, and you can find this article on naturalnews.com. Titled Study COVID-19 Vaccination Linked to Rare Neurological Disorder That Causes Pain, Muscle Atrophy, and Paralysis. So, you know, guys, this is going to be never ending. I mean, the things, you know, you just, people don't have a clue. I mean, unless you were keeping up with this from the beginning and you looked at how these things were developed and everything that's going on with them, I'm sorry, but you have no idea what could be coming down the road. I mean, the code that they just pulled out of nowhere on these, you know, on the computer to develop these things is crazy. So,
hey, by the way,
Christina, you
have a friend that wants to call in.
Oh, okay, sure. Who we got?
Take a guess.
Is it Pianki?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, so did you see the eclipse today?
Oh, I've seen them before.
Were you in the path or no?
Well, it was overcast and kind of like raining here, so
we wouldn't
have seen it anyway.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But yesterday I heard this judge speak. She's a black female, retired Superior Court judge for the state of Pennsylvania. Her name is Cheryl Allen. And I'm going to tell you something. Just at the hour or when the lights get real dim, and hope seems the slip through your fingers, up pops a jewel like this woman.
Oh, wow.
This woman, she's God-fearing. She loves the Constitution. And she made reference to the mess that's going on to Donald Trump and the purposes behind it.
Cool.
Never expected to hear something. I knew they out there, but they don't speak up. She's retired. She was running. She was wanting to get appointed to the Supreme Court, but we know what happened there.
Yeah, of course.
Well, she talked about the players, the Fannie Willises, the Letitia James, and others. And I couldn't have said it better myself. And I found some more YouTube clips on her, which I put in the chat room. And I was on a program yesterday that lasted for about an hour and a half. And, well, actually an hour, the last half hour they opened it up where I could, and others could speak to her. But you take the time out and listen to that podcast and energy to your hope that there's a possibility of turning this mess around after all.
Where did you post it?
There on Blog Talk Chat.
Oh, okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm seeing her. I just pulled her up. Great. I'll check into her. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, check into this. And see, that's the type of judges we need.
Yes.
Not the type of judges we need. She
yes.
calls the Constitution. That's what's needed. Mm-hmm. And they putting these black judges, especially these females, and prosecutors, supporting them to get become prosecutors and DAs, and they're just terrible.
Yeah,
they are
they're
terrible.
Awful. Right.
And, you know, you would expect it, given the history that everybody's talking about all the time, that you would have someone come from those ranks of those demographics that would be about the preservation and the strengthening of the United States. But these
yeah.
people that we see out there today, it's just not coming from that cloth. I hear there's some more charges possibly on Fannie Willis in Maryland.
Well, I won't be surprised.
For taping conversation and not letting the other party know that they were being taped.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's
oh, wow. Yeah, these people don't care about the law. Not in any way, shape, or form. Oh.
No, they don't. They don't care about
wow.
the law at all. Like in that skit, the proof played on the interview yeah. questioning with that woke student. They
right.
told it ridiculous. Affirmative
yeah.
action didn't have... Affirmative action was not typically meant to put blacks in positions. It was meant to invite people to compete in the contest that they normally would not have been invited in the past. So that's what it's
yeah.
about. It's not about giving black students 310 points on an SAT exam.
Right.
Even before the test began, what right. is you doing to a child?
I mean,
white
that's
kids
insulting.
Get
yeah.
Hispanics get plus 270, and Asians get minus 170. Just think.
That's crazy.
That's really that is really ridiculous.
It is. It is. I mean. The quality of things, if they really think that that's the answer, the quality of everything is just going to go to a pile of you-know-what of dung. Because, I mean, how are you going to know who really can do the job and qualify for it?
if you're doing that. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, somebody said that they was going to start letting paraplegics fly jets, commercial jets.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And then who are they going to let become traffic controllers? That's a very stressful job.
Oh, yeah. Not one I would want, that's for sure.
People who are bipolar.
Oh, boy.
You think I'm kidding?
So no matter what,
no,
we got to continue the fight.
I don't. I just think the devil is alive and well.
This, you know, Joe Biden say I'm going to appoint a black female. Hell, I know a lot. I know this lady. There's another one out there in California, Janice Brown. She's highly conservative. Barack Obama wouldn't nominate her. So it is political, and it shouldn't be that way.
It absolutely is. Yep. I agree.
So they're going to create something. It's just like that monster getting out of the box. Once it gets out of the box and it multiplies itself into endless creatures like it, you can't put it back in the box. It's gone. It's out there to multiply, recreate itself in different human beings. That's what I think is going on now, because I try to apply reason to it, what I'm witnessing. And I come up to the conclusion, a lot of these people can't be human. They must be alien.
I think that's true.
You remember in the movie Omen, when the mother was, I think she was combing the kid's hair, and she was passed on a message to part his hair, and she did and seen the three sixes?
Yeah. Oh,
well, I'm going to tell you something, Christine.
Yeah.
It must be something to this stuff. It's got to be something to this. But I think if you were to start parting the hair of your Adam Schiff, parting the hair of your Merrick Garland, parting the hair of your George Soros and others, you would find not only three sixes, you'd probably find a quad hand of sixes in the air.
Yeah. Don't forget Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, she is. Mistress Devil. One of the wicked witches of the West.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we know that there's, I believe in reptilians. I believe that there are people here that are not human. I wholeheartedly believe that.
What they call it, shape formers or something like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense because, you know, as far as humans, you know, God is, we all come from him and he is in all of us. So, you know, some of these people, the way they are, it's like, there's no way. There's no way. You know, you try to see God in everyone. And it's like, there's just, yeah, some of these people, it's virtually impossible. I mean,
and
really
you
is.
Can't mention God in them schools. They'll run you out.
Yeah.
You'd be up there standing, you'd be standing in an auditorium giving a presentation at the podium. And you mention God, all of a sudden, a big long hook will come out of the curtains and snatch you and pull you back in there.
Yeah, well, I fight it like crazy, and I'm not a weakie. They'd have a hard time pulling me out of there. So,
but
I'll
know
fight till the bitter.
I know a person that happened to. It wasn't a curtain, a hook, but they told me that they wanted him in the office. And about three or four classes, this is at Normandy High School, your teachers had been pre-planned. The teachers let their class out to come to the auditorium. And this radio host, Onion Harding, was getting ready to speak. about that time, a message was sent to him. He had to come to the auditorium. Not the auditorium, but the office. And he didn't come back. They probably didn't want to see. You know, that is totally, totally ridiculous. Why are you going to prevent young people, young adults, from hearing a message?
Yeah. Because they know it's the truth, and they don't want them to hear it.
There you go.
Oh.
And this was back in like the 90s. So it's been going on for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. For as bad as it's gotten, yeah, it's been going on for so long. So.
But what's going on with you? You looked at the eclipse?
Yeah, so where I'm at in Cape, we actually were right on the line. So I saw the full thing. So it was pretty cool. It was beautifully clear here. I thought we were supposed to it said that we were going to have some cloudy weather, but no, it cleared up. It was one of the most beautiful days. So it was, I took a few shots of it and stuff. So my daughter later, she was like, Mom, she's like, don't you know that's bad for your camera lens? And I was like, oh, no. I said, now I do. So I won't do that anymore. But it's not like I'm not a professional photographer, so no big deal.
No big deal. You don't get to see anything here, Bianchi.
There in Nevada?
Yeah, it wasn't visible.
Yeah,
I didn't have any darkness at all that I noticed.
I think it started in Mexico and came up through Texas and then, basically through southeast Missouri on to Carbondale, and that was the line it was taken. So I don't know. Supposedly there was a comet, too. I didn't see a comet. I don't know how you would have seen that. But, that's what they said.
And I don't know why come I keep saying I wish I could do these because I could do them. But I would like to stay out in the desert there near Area 51. Get a tent. We bound to see something, have binoculars, of course, cameras. We bound to see something if there is something to see.
Yeah. Hopefully they wouldn't pick us up. that's my only fear.
The best place to view the sky is if you're ever on an ocean, like on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
It is pitch black.
Yep, because there's no light. Yep. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. I can remember I was on a cruise one time. We were going to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and oh my God, the moon and the sun. It was so beautiful because it's like I guess it's because of where they're located farther south, but it's like they're sitting on the water. They're so big, like the sun was just huge as it was setting, and it was just so pretty.
Well, I was in Ethiopia one time. I've been there several times. In Aksum, we was in an auditorium. Went in there about, about 8 o'clock, something like that. It wasn't dark.
Yeah.
It was light outside. So when the lecture was over, myself and another person, we stepped out the exit door and walked a little ways. And I kind of glanced over my shoulder, and then I ducked. The stars were so big. You thought you were going to bump your head.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, that's no kidding. And like I say, you can not only see the galaxies, but you can see the fuzz around.
Yeah.
Make out those objects. And, of course, there in that part of Africa where you have so much sand, and it's not producing to a haze in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's just idea for observing the sky.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But when Halley Comet was in the news, this was a long time ago. So I got a couple of pairs of binoculars for me and my daughter, and we would drive out 70 close to Columbia, Missouri.
Sure.
And pull into a rest stop. And, of course, you're away from the city lights, and you could see the sky much, much better.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man's interference with being able to truly experience nature in its most beautiful form. You know, you think about what's transpired the last, what is it now, almost 4 years now. It, you know, the fact that they were restricting travel and just, you know, I so long for the day when we are all just truly free to go anywhere in the world and experience all that you know, God created, everything. I mean, and just, you know, people are, I believe they're innately good, you know, and it's like, I think everybody does want to get along. And it's just like, how do we get rid of all these elite, these power mongering idiots? How do we get rid of all of them?
We get enough people that stand up and not take it.
And because they don't do anybody any good.
Well, you know that when in just a month or so, that if they hype up this bird flu and say everybody has to wear scams again,
yeah,
you're going to get 60-70% of the public just go along with it, and more in the liberal cities.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Fear. Because people don't have faith. They don't have faith anymore, you know, so that they walk around in fear.
Well,
I'm just grateful
right
for where I am.
The only only thing that can change that is the people themselves. And
right,
believe it or not, this here that we call the United States is the last bastion where the people can rise up and shake off the tyranny and the other Marxism ideas that we're presented with. No place else on earth can do this.
No, you're absolutely right. That's why the whole world watches us. You know, we are their hope. We are the people of this world. A lot of, you know, we are their hope. It's the leaders of the countries that screw up everything.
What's going to happen when you start having these divisions of states? You may even start experiencing things like we did back in World War II with Germany and Finland, where they put thousands of landmines along the border.
Oh,
some of them landmines are still there today.
Wow.
To keep you out.
I mean, how's the mindset?
I mean, what are you going to do? You going to give in? You was talking about your children and the influence that possibly this music is having on them.
Sure.
And you know you wouldn't listen to it. I surely would.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, you got segments of the population. And look at that not only as being natural, but being a given right that they should be able to impose upon you. And you must accept it. So, no, people ain't going to take that stuff. You're going to have division. Worse, divisions always have been there, but it was respect of others.
Yeah.
But it's just like cornering a fox. He'll run from you until he makes a mistake. into running into an area where there's no exit, then go in there and try to get him. He would tear you apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, seen this advertisement the other day where they promoting bugs again for your diet.
Who
the heck want to be eating bugs, man?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
I can understand if it was. I can understand if it was like a Dahmer Pass incident, and I really don't understand that. But I ain't no bugs.
Not me neither.
Well, let me share this article that I posted earlier then from Alex Jones's site, InfoWars. Democrats block an amendment to require informing people if they're eating bugs. So this was in Minnesota.
Oh,
in Minnesota, there were Senate Republicans in the state of Minnesota brought up an amendment that would require that if there's bugs in your food, that they have to tell you. And Democrats said no.
But you would have to ask, why would they be against business consumers knowing what the heck it is they're eating?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't they want, why have they always failed to disclose what we're eating?
And why does that have to be a political issue? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, some things should be just general common sense. But no, it has to fall along the lines and dictums of politics and political persuasion.
Yeah. I mean, when did this happen? When did everything become about politics? I mean, honestly.
Why does it have to be a determinative of politics whether your child, your underage child, given any other case, should be privy to pornography?
Oh,
and the pornography today is not what they snatched from you 50 years ago. This stuff today, and I'm talking about as far as kids having access to it, it's just terrible. It's the demonic of the demonic.
Yeah.
Why would you want kids? And I heard somebody talking, too, about the what they expose in kindergarten kids to, showing them pictures of all kinds of stuff. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
No. There's nothing to understand. That's just, she just must be evil, sick.
It's a child. Cannot a child be a child?
Yeah.
Cannot a child have the ability to enjoy that period of their life, which will slowly slip away and will become nothing but a memory? But what kind of memory would it be if they see the pictures of these illicit activities being exposed to them that they don't understand but will be curious enough to try to duplicate what they see?
Yeah. 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 It's, you know, I will say this forever. It's, as a parent, your focus has to be your child. If you keep them as your focus, you know, you will stay in the right place. And I'm not talking about, you know, giving them everything they want and all that stuff. I'm just saying they've got to be your focus. You know, the things that you do in your life and everything you have to remember, is this good for them, you know? So many don't.
I've been in traffic. A car pull up next to me, the kids in the back seat, two or three kids. And the adults in the front seat is smoking, but you can smell, you know what?
Oh, my God.
And the windows are up. The windows are up. So those kids have to be getting gas.
Oh, wow.
They are getting gas. I ain't kidding you. And that ain't all. Then what's playing on the radio? And at the volume level that is being played, the poor kid don't have a chance.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right. That's sad. Very sad. Jeez.
And then you wonder why these kids be acting so crazy today.
Yeah. I don't wonder why. Pretty easy to understand. In my opinion. I mean. So.
And kids nowadays, they do everything by themselves. They get their food, they run to their room and slam the door. Instead of sitting at the table.
And you know what? That's the parents' fault.
Hey, I remember the scenes in some network series like Dallas and J.R. Ewing and Doc and Sue Ellen. They all be sitting there at the table eating and discussing dinner and having a little disagree. Man, that was family.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I remember in my aunt's house, we was having dinner. And she had some Brussels sprouts. I looked at them Brussels sprouts. Then I looked over at the bottle of ketchup.
Did you eat them?
Yeah, that ketchup tastes pretty good.
That was the way you could get them down. That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
You know, there's two vegetables I just don't like, and that's beets and Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I love both.
Yeah, but that ketchup works miracles, man.
Yeah. It's funny. My gemologist, the one that was Persian, that's from Iran. I know. He loved ketchup. He put ketchup on everything, and I mean, he's used to really good food. You know, Persian food is delicious. So he's fixed a lot of great things. But yeah, he loved ketchup. So yeah, ketchup's good. Got to admit.
Especially on Brussels sprouts.
I've never had it on a Brussels sprout. I have to admit. I haven't tried that one. Oh, goodness. Next time I have one, though, I promise you, I'll try it.
Yeah, when I was a kid and I was allowed to help setting the table, I made sure that bottle of ketchup was there just in case.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing that's good is I really commend my daughter and her husband. They have the boys. They have their chores, you know. They have to help, like, set the table or put the dishes in the dishwasher or unload them. And, you know, I think that's good. I think it's good to have kids do those sort of things. You know, not have them overwhelmed, but responsibility. It's a good thing. So.
Yeah, we had those nothing but memories. We had family outings. People from different families bring a dish.
Yeah.
I remember one of my friends, my neighborhood friend, Butch, and maybe his brother, I don't remember, but we'd get on either side of the table, and the tables would be lined up at like almost the length of a football field. It's out in Forest Park. You know where Forest Park is.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
So he walked down one side, I walked down the other side, until we came across a blackberry cobbler. Oh, my goodness. So we sit down.
I just fought you for that. Cobbler.
Then we get up and walk some more.
Yeah. I love cobblers, especially blackberry ones. They are good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. So, yeah, I need to learn to.
They weren't made with their canned gels blackberries either.
No. Yeah, speaking of that, you know, I was so disappointed. I went to a farmer's market, and I don't know if they were Amish or Mennonites, but they had pies and stuff there, and I thought, oh, well, I'm sure their pie will be delicious. And it was like a double-crusted fruit pie. So you couldn't see inside it, but, you know, they had it labeled what kind. And so I remember buying one, and I got home and cut into it, and it was like, it was so gross because it was like mostly this like gelatin stuff, and it'd have a few pieces of fruit in it, and I'm like, what is this? You know, I'm like, come on, you guys are supposed to make stuff the old-fashioned great way, you know? That's another thing
that's
missing in households.
Philadelphia, and I went into this market. This market in Philadelphia is kind of like a farmer's market. You know, they had one downtown on 6th Street in Washington.
Yeah, sure.
So I went in there, and, man, the Quakers had booths set up, and they had orange juice. They put the whole orange in this machine, and it squeezed, and out popped the orange juice.
Yeah.
So I got a quarter of that. Then they had other dishes, you know, like you made mention.
Uh-huh.
Eyes. So, I tell you what, that was some pretty dang darn good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have that. That's my drink every morning, fresh squeezed orange juice. I'm addicted.
I mean,
there's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it can get expensive, you know, to think of a whole family trying to have fresh squeezed orange juice. I mean, unless you were wealthy, you couldn't do it. Unless you lived in Florida and grew your own oranges, you know? So.
Yeah, it's not the only way you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. My grandson, they love it too. So it's the first thing when they come here or when I go up there, let's make orange juice. I'm like, okay. So, but yeah, I think I used half a case of oranges last time I went up there around Easter but you know what? It's a way, I don't care. I sit there and I juice it for them because it's a way that I get that orange juice down and it's just loaded with vitamin C. And I'm like, I'll do it all day long if they'll drink it. So
Get hold of for your kids is some sugar cane and put that in the machine and squeeze the juice out of it.
You know, I've never had like, I've never had that.
Well, I tell you what, that would give you a high that you could leap across a bus.
Really?
Sure
so
will.
So it's literally just the sugar cane plant and you juice it?
You juice it. Yeah, they got a machine that squeezes the juice out of it. I was over in Egypt.
I've never had that. I am.
What they would let you do, Christine, if you had a liter bottle of water empty,
Yeah.
They would fill your, you know, they fill it up for a very reasonable amount of money. But you got to, you can't let it sit. Same thing with the fresh orange juice. You can't let it sit. You got to drink it within hours or a day.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. But I, yeah, as far as my my go-to, the sugar that I use, like for my coffee and to bake with, I use raw cane sugar. The, you know, it's so good because it's not bleached or anything. You know, it's just got all that flavor. And I am, I'm not afraid of.
Like drinking a cup of tea with some clean water, you know, clean the tea kettle out real good, and that clean water taste when you're drinking that tea is different.
Yep, for sure. I mean, the Cubans got the coffee right with the the true, like that cane sugar that comes from down there. The raw golden, oh, so good. I pick it up sometimes when I'm in Florida and bring it back. I can order it, but I just usually pick it up on vacation down there.
Some pretty good. I don't drink coffee, but I like to smell it.
Yeah, well, I limit. I love a good, like, Cuban coffee, but you can't have too much. It's not good for you. It's hard on the adrenals.
You have your own beans ground? You get your own beans ground?
I do sometimes, yeah. I do. I most of the time buy the beans and grind them myself, yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes hard to find good beans, though, where I am.
It used to be a place down at Union Station, and you go in this shop, and they had rows and rows of beans there.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It wasn't Norman Beans, was it?
I don't remember.
What was, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, when I was living in St. Louis, when my kids were little, so it would have been like around 1990, there were some great places to go in and get fresh coffee beans, you know, the Kenya, and they'd have the Jamaica Blue Mountain and all those. Oh, I can remember all that. It just doesn't seem like you can get it anymore.
You remember the one store, the one restaurant used to be there on Jefferson, just south of Shoto? The chili place. You go in there and buy by least chili. They used to be one there right off of Shoto
like
on Jefferson. Going, huh?
Was it like a little diner?
That's what it was, a little diner.
Okay, I think
then
I do know what
you're talking Jefferson about. Going north up there by Mallinckrodt, right there on Broadway, is another one.
Yeah.
Diner right there. They had like 7 different kinds of chili.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had never eaten at any of them, but I did see them. So. Yeah, St. Louis, I saw something about they're trying to get rid of who's the gal? I guess it's the mayor of St. Louis.
Sheriff Jones?
Yeah, and they were talking about how is she the one that Soros has backed as well?
Soros has backed everybody but me.
Oh, I mean, and St. Louis is bad. Yeah, me too. I was telling Proof last week, you know, I had been up to my kids and I was in St. Louis for almost a week and the streets are awful. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I glad I didn't tear up my car, but I was afraid I was going to bust a tire. I mean, they're
really, it's terrible up there.
They're bad. Really bad. So I was going to ask you, too, about what's going on with the LSU woman, let's see, the coach, head coach Kim Mulkey, how the governor was threatening scholarships.
If the athletes don't come out for the national anthem, they're going to lose their scholarship. That's what the governor Landry said.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think she's trying to say that they didn't do it on purpose.
I think she's legitimate on it, but
okay.
It shouldn't be going. They should be out there on that particular moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
Just like this judge I was telling you about, she said, we don't need to be taking a knee. We need to be down on both knees praying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You down here in the South, these people down here are religious. They pray before they do anything.
Uh-huh.
I know when I go to my convention of state meetings, they pledge allegiance to the flag, then they pray.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I mean,
it really is good. It's good for people to take those type of, incorporate that type of attitude in their daily life and the raising of their family.
Yeah.
You have to have some sort of dedicated morals.
Yep.
That should be your first display before you elevate up to another level.
I agree.
So they don't play like that down, at least not down there where I am. And the young people are so polite. My goodness. Yes, sir. No, sir. I'm putting my groceries in the trunk of my car. This young lady came up, this young mother. I don't know if she was a mother or not, but she wasn't no teen. Can I help you, sir? I said, oh, I think I can make it. Okay. You sure? I said, yes. That's what they do.
That's great.
Now, I guess there's some exceptions to the cause, but I have yet to meet them. Hell, adults, white, black. Hold the door open for you. Yeah, you can be 50 yards from them there. Take your time.
Yeah.
Imagine that in St. Louis.
Oh, would truly depend on where you were, but not, yeah. Not so much in St. Louis City. That's for sure.
Well, you probably have to be in a closet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, things have to get better. But it starts at home. Starts at home. But I think that it will. Like you just said, you know, that Cheryl Allen, you know, you see something like that and it really helps. And it, you know, and it's just like, Larry Elders, you know who Larry Elders is. He's great too. It's like these are the type of people that should be in positions, you know, but they're on the wrong side, you know, they can't be bought. So, I mean, that it just like going back to Fannie Willis. What's she make? About $100,000? That's what her salary is, and she's worth what? $8 million? And how old is she? How did that happen?
Well, that other the right judge, people fund you.
Yeah, that other judge in where that other judge that was having a party in the courtroom, kids came in, the guards told them they couldn't come, couldn't do that. They didn't pay no attention to them. In the courtroom, taking selfies, twerking.
Oh, wow.
Then for whatever else she's done, she's in a hearing, and she's crying, saying that she's the first black female judge, and she even admitted she wasn't qualified for the position. And she was mad because nobody recognized her. Enough.
Oh.
Yeah, this other judge, black female, was being indicted for abusing her staff. She's a lesbian.
Wow.
That mayor down there in Georgia, the city council had a meeting. And they voted to remove the mayor because she's crazy. And she vetoed it. Can you imagine?
Wow.
She vetoed her own damn ouster.
That's funny.
Then they voted to hire Lori Lightfoot to look into some matters. Lori Lightfoot. Because she used to be a federal prosecutor.
Wow.
So she wasn't worth a damn as a mayor.
No, and that's what they're talking about St. Louis. They said, you know, she's responsible for a lot of the crime that's happening because she's been letting all these criminals out. And they've been, you know, breaking the law again. I mean, look at that poor young girl that was killed. Hit by that guy.
She didn't die.
No, not that one. This was a while back. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was a criminal. He was supposed to be in jail, and they let him out, and they failed to, I don't know what it was, but they dropped the ball. And he was behind, he hit a girl.
Yeah, he was being chased by the police, and his mother waiting on the bus, and she was sitting on a fence around this parking lot that was made out of, made from guardrails. So he ran up over the sidewalk and ran into this lady and cut both her legs off.
Yeah.
So time comes for him to go to court. He shows up about three times, and Kim Gardner failed to send an attorney down for the hearing, the disposition. So finally, the judge had to let him go.
Yeah. Gardner, that's who I'm talking about.
That's the same woman that went after McCloskey's proof.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they were talking about the incident where the homeless person was sitting just sitting down the sidewalk downtown St. Louis, and a guy came up behind him and shot him.
Across from the Shell station in Missouri Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
There's a black man came up and shot this white guy in the back of the head. Homeless.
Yep.
Looked like he was homeless, kind of.
Yep. They said he was homeless. Yep. So... there's just
downtown there where they tried to rejuvenate and put lofts. I guess that would be down around the around Fifth Street, Washington and Broadway. They'd be doing wheelies and donuts down there, and people can't even sleep.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I tell you what, my daughter. I guess it's been probably 4 years ago. It's been a while. She was working for a company downtown, and I'm so glad that she is no longer down there. I mean,
Yeah, it got so bad they had to close Calico's.
Wow.
They had the best Sicilian pizza. You remember Calico's used to be over there by St. Louis U, Grand, and I guess that was Pine.
Yeah.
Just
Calico's.
To get the Vanderbilt. That old,
yep.
Yeah, that old antique building.
Mm-hmm.
Go down and order my Sicilian pizzas.
Yep. Gosh, I can't even remember some of the places down there. It's been so long. I remember when my 35-year-old was just a baby, my dad, he worked at Anheuser-Busch. He had a construction trailer there, and he was the general he managed a lot of the construction that went on around there. And one of my favorite places to eat was, I think it was on Bateson, was it 55? It was called Bailey Brothers Bar and Grill. I don't know if you ever ate there, but that used to be a good place. But it changed hands and kind of disappeared. But I remember that. I remember, was it Crusoe's?
Yeah, they had Charlie Duto's down there in downtown.
Yeah.
He goes way back. They have pictures of Yogi Berra, and everybody visits Charlie Duto's.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I wonder how many of those, high-end restaurants are still down there.
I don't know.
I haven't. It's been so long since I've been downtown. I don't go down there anymore. There's really nothing to go down there for. Speaking of Yogi Berra, did you guys know that all of his rings, did you know that they were stolen?
No.
I saw on 60 Minutes that they had a guy on there that actually stole them. And Yogi Berra's daughter, they were interviewing her, and she was talking about it. And anyway, I think he stole them, I think the year before Yogi died. But literally, they took all Yogi Berra's rings. They freaking took the stones out and melted them for like $12,000, and they were worth, you know how much they were worth. I'm just like,
you know, I don't understand why people do that.
Oh, wow.
I guess I know why, but I don't understand the mentality. Why would you hurt somebody like that? That's probably what contributes to his death, the grief.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to have a lot. You got to have a safe for memorabilia like that. You know, some of them athletes have got whole rooms dedicated to their trophies and awards, kind of alarm systems on the house. And you had some illegals that were targeting celebrities' homes.
I have no doubt. No doubt.
Then if you catch somebody, you got to treat them with kid gloves. The hell I would.
It's hard to say. Yeah, not going to happen here. One of them walk in my front door. They're not going to be walking back out. That's for sure. But luckily I live in a town that, that's okay. So I don't know about St. Louis City.
Hell, you're going to have a gated community. You won't have nothing.
Yeah.
It's worth enough. And now you got just about anybody resort to break it into you and burglarize in your home.
Yeah, it's very true.
I know that very personally.
Yeah.
I told you my daughter is up there around Bell Fountain. I want to get her out of there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
It's starting to get terrible.
I bet. So how old is she?
Oh, she's in her 40s.
Okay. So she's got her whole family there?
Nope. My kid, last one to stand with me. Went to college down here at the Luke LSU.
Oh, okay.
She got the big old place by herself. Of course, she don't want to leave.
Yeah. Will she not come there with you?
Well, that's up for discussion. But the house is too good. Damn place got 3, 4, 5 fireplaces. And you need a riding mower and something else to cut the lawn.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So it's a lot to keep.
When the kid was there, he was growing up, it was fun. He had a batting cage in the... It used to be a lake right in front of the house. It dried up. So I put some pads down and put him in the batting cage there.
Yeah.
He played baseball. But no, it's just too big for her.
Yeah. Yeah,
you try to keep a nice lawn. That shrubs, there's a lot of work. That's just too much work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah, I know. I've only got about half an acre, but yeah, still, it's a lot. That's for sure. And I wish I did not have gumball trees. Oh. There's nothing worse. Oh.
Actually, she got moles.
Yes, those are hard to get rid of.
It looks like they pop up out the hole, look at you and laugh with their eyes closed and go back.
Yeah. They truly are hard to catch. I know my mom's had one that's just been messing up her front yard so bad.
Yeah, if you got an animal like horses, that can be very dangerous.
Oh, I never thought about that. That'd definitely be the case. I was trying to find an article about where the first, one of the first transgender things came from. It was one of the gay Jewish, or not Jewish, or was it? It was in Germany. Go on in. I thought I saved that article. What did I do with it?
Well, in America, it was out there in... San Francisco, and Fauci was involved in that one video document called "And the Band Played On."
Yeah,
it's on YouTube. You should watch that. They talk about Fauci. They talk about AIDS. They show some scenes over in an African country, and the band played on.
Yeah, speaking of Fauci, where is he at?
He's busy spreading the
problem. Probably dreaming up another scheme.
Yeah. No doubt.
Man, you know, these people are evil. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Evil. Why in the world would you contemplate if we don't already have some natural things that's going to happen that you don't have no control over? You want to complicate the matters and jeopardize the health and well-being of innocent people. They just happen to be walking by.
Yep.
Not bothering anyone.
Right. Very.
And don't think that all that doesn't have some repercussions.
Yeah, I hope I see him in this lifetime, repercussions for him. That's for sure.
Hell, natural disasters, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, basketball-sized hail.
Yeah.
They don't tell the good people You better get out of here. I'm coming. Hell, you ain't done anything. You've lived a modest and model Christian life, and next thing you know, you're getting hit upside the head with basketball-sized hell.
Yeah. Oh, well, I sure thought I saved that somewhere, but I guess I did not. Hmm. So we won't do that. Yeah, that's, you were talking about the bird flu earlier, proof. It's saying, yeah, though, that the CDC is telling states to prepare for bird flu, but says the risk to humans remains low. You don't say.
Well, you can't believe what they say.
I mean, yeah, why would anybody – I don't understand, honestly. I don't understand why the FDA and the CDC are even still considered, you know, an organization with any integrity. I mean, my gosh.
The CDC is headquartered there in Atlanta. So that tells you something. The CDC is headquartered there in Atlanta, Georgia, so that tells you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like Joe Biden saying that the federal government is going to help build the bridge there in Baltimore. And he's lying. The company's got insurance. They'll need him. He's just there showboating for votes.
Of course. Yep. I mean, speaking of, like, the CDC or the FDA, here's another, this is regarding a, and you guys might already know this, so article on the long-term use of popular heartburn drugs increases risk of stomach cancer. So I had already heard a little bit about this from, like, the Zantac, and then these are the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors. You guys know what those are, I'm sure. It's they're linking them to stomach cancer, which makes complete sense, because when you do study the body a little bit, you learn that the only place in your body that you basically produce an acid is, you know, the hydrochloric acid in your stomach, which is there to digest protein. So when you suppress that, the stomach's ability to put that acid on the protein to help break it down, then it passes into, you know, it goes ahead and passes into the colon, and without being broken down properly. So, of course, I mean, it's going to happen. It just, I mean, anytime they suppress a symptom like that in the body, I mean, this is what I don't get. I don't understand why doctors don't put these things, put two and two together. It's like, come on. It's like your body is...
I thought
a good
solution for heartburn was just some plain old baking soda.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things. You can put lemon in water, you know. Yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. And, you know, it's like when somebody starts having heartburn on a regular basis, you know what? You're not eating properly. You got to change your diet. Your body gives you symptoms for a reason, you know? Imagine that. God gave us this wonderful body that is actually very simple in how it operates, and, you know, it has its own warning signals. So I don't know. And do you know how many people that they've had on those drugs?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they were giving them, you know, they started giving those, they started giving some of those drugs to, like, babies. When babies would come out and they'd have that, you know, that really bad reflux or whatever. It's just a nightmare that continues on. We need a new medical system.
Well, we just need the globalists to get out, that's all.
Well, exactly, yeah. We need to pick the most treacherous island miles away from every other island or any land and put all of them. Let them try to survive. Oh. Remember, I still think of the movie Escape from New York.
Yeah, you know that was you know, part of that was filmed in St. Louis there on what's that street?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the 18th Street and going back toward Washington. What's that? Is that Market?
Yeah.
No, it's not Market. It's the other street. I think it's Pine, but I'm not sure. But it have, matter of fact, they have the cafe sits right there in the corner.
Oh my goodness!
That was in the movie.
I did not realize that. But I hadn't been in St. Louis very much when I was the age watching that. So when it first came out, I remember I was in high school, and. But
I think that's a Lindell.
Well, now I do know there's a Lindell. I remember Lindell running in front of Forest Park. But it runs all the way downtown too, obviously.
When it crosses, Lindell and Grant is where the big cathedral is. Then you come on further east. You cross Jefferson, then you'll be down there by where the police station is now. But they had a cafe, and I know it was 18th Street because you go down that one cross street, you run into Union Station. And that's where they had
part
of the filming of Escape from New York, yeah.
That's something I didn't know. I have to remember that.
It's not too far from there. Some vacant Viaduct Bridge that's closed down, and they shot some of the scene there.
Huh.
That film Superfly, part of it was filmed in St. Louis, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Over there on Vandeventer off of Forest Park.
Okay, yeah. I know where that is. Huh.
And you can see the Scottish Rite building there on what's that street thing? They're right over there by the where St. Louis University have the dormitory building. You can see it, the Scottish Rite building, which is up the ways from there. You can see it in the background of the film scene.
Yeah.
Masonic Hall.
I think I know what you're talking about with that one. Was that Delmore area? Delmore?
Yeah, that is Delmore.
Okay,
Where the AAA building used to be on this street. Yep.
AAA, was that by Forest Park?
No, you're too far away. You got to come back east, going downtown.
Okay. I don't know if I knew where the AAA building was.
Well, you know where the cathedral is, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Keep on coming down east of there, and you run into it.
Okay.
St. Louis Cathedral.
Yeah. Beautiful church.
It is scary.
Yeah. Yeah, the one building by the arena. Wait, is it the arena now? Is that where they, it's where they play hockey, I think.
Over by Union Station?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. There's a building there that, yeah. It is.
That's the Kiel. Kiel Auditorium.
Okay.
I erected structure still on that Newport back in 1994, I think it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. It's sad. It's sad that, you know, St. Louis was it was a good city. You know, I hope it can, I hope it starts turning around before it's too late.
Ain't nobody gonna move out there.
No, you're probably right. I mean, it's going to have to do a lot of changing before it happens. No, that's true. But
well,
I just told
St. Louis Center. They closed St. Louis Center down. Yeah, we done the steel erection on that. Matter of fact, on opening day, Bob Hope showed up.
So they've closed the St. Louis Center down? They don't use it anymore?
It's not no shopping center any longer. And the tie-in bridges that went from St. Louis Center to Styx Baron Fuller at Washington,
yeah.
Then they went across to Famous and Bar. They don't tow those down.
Mm. I know. It's just like the area off of Kings Highway and, like, Chippewa, that area.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when my girls were little, I can remember how nice that area was, and I ran around, and it's awful now.
Yeah, they had the fire station down there at the one end and the White Castle.
Yeah. America's cities are just... They're withering away while they're being destroyed.
St. Louis Center was beautiful. We built that, too. Had the tower
yeah.
in the middle.
Yeah.
Had the atrium. It was all glass.
Yep. I remember that. There was a really nice restaurant in the top. I'm trying to remember. It started with a K.
Yeah. Up there where the barrel vault was. I put that barrel
yeah.
vault up.
I cannot think of the name of it. Doggone it. I think it was an Italian restaurant. So, you still got, I guess the hill's still okay. I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time either. But the restaurant's there.
Up on the hill, they had, Mama Gito's or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you still have Zia's, and you got Charlie Gito's there, and yeah, there's so many. There's the hill's still pretty strong. I was there.
I went to O'Fallon High School. For
yeah.
lunch, we walked, go out the and cross the field and go up that street, and they had this Italian delicatessen set on the corner.
Yeah.
That was a real nice lady. She'd make us a Subway sandwich, like 6 inches. I had a 20-ounce grape soda and a Hostess cupcake for 50 cents.
Wow.
Goodness. Yeah. She's a nice lady. She fixed them good sandwiches. A Hostess
yeah.
cupcake and a 20-ounce Vest grape soda, 50 cents.
I really, you know, I just wish our kids, our grandkids and kids could, you know, experience living in those days so much. So the good parts of them anyway. I think there was a lot more good back there than there is these days.
It's a Polish restaurant there in I can't think of the name of it. I used to go in there and buy Krakow. Krakow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was over around Salisbury and off of Natural Bridge, back over in there.
Okay.
It's Katowski. I think she was called Katowski.
You're talking about by the airport, Natural Bridge, or
no,
farther east?
No, that's down across Grand.
Oh, okay. So Natural
and
Bridge, downtown. Okay.
Yeah, then right there where Jefferson comes across, it changes into Salisbury, and then across the Natural Bridge, North Jefferson.
Yeah.
And then restaurant was back over in there. Not the restaurant, but the delicatessen store. I don't even know if it's still open. The area got
probably
bad.
Probably not.
It was named Katowski's or something.
Okay.
Then down there on Cass, we got the big Polish cathedral. Cass and I think about 18th Street. Our Lady or something. Yeah,
okay.
A lot of nice historical buildings there.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Trying to bring a lot. They tried to bring a lot of those places back, but
yeah, I doubt they're doing that anymore.
No. Is Silver Dollar City still around? Out there in Branson?
Yeah. Silver Dollar City still going strong. Yeah, it is. So I think Branson's doing okay. It's I think it's, you know, that area around Branson too is still, it's growing quite a bit. So
they had a lot of crafts people there making all sorts of things.
Yes. And, you know, there's actually a lot of alternative healers, medicines. You know, there's a lot of, there's some decent things over there.
We used to fly down there and land at Grand Glaze Airport, kind of up on a hill. Then,
really?
Yeah. Huh. Then we would go over there into Branson. By Bagno Dam and all this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't been there for years, but I do know it's still open. So my kids have been there. Oh.
And we used to ride a motorcycle up there around the dam.
Oh my gosh. That would scare me. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, that was kind of fun back in the days traveling to different places in Missouri. Go to, you remember Larry Rice, the guy that had the facilities for the homeless? Yeah, Reverend Larry Rice.
Okay, I started to say the name sounds so familiar.
He had a kind of like a compound there before you went into Jeff City.
Okay.
And he had an herb home. He had facilities that was being supplied electricity with wind generators, solar panels, and all that stuff. And he put it all together, and it was being maintained by the homeless. He had a place down there on Washington Avenue just east of the Fox Theater. And New Life Evangelist, or whatever it was called. And he used to house the homeless there at the place. He'd come in there and take a shower, eat, go to bed.
Right.
Next morning they had to be out of there.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he had
that's
a radio
good.
Station, too. Yeah, he had a radio station also.
Yeah, I know I did. That name just sounds, yeah, very familiar. I'll have to look it up. But no, I got to tell you something funny. I just looked on X. Guess what? Sunny Hostin, is that her name?
On The View?
It's saying that she suggests that the solar eclipse is a sign of climate change.
It wasn't crazy for
that. She is. I'm like, come on. Really? Oh, wowza. Oh, did I? I think I, darn it, I did.
I heard a woman say that there's two suns, the original sun and the original sun is behind the sun we see now. It was built by the ancient Egyptians.
Well, there's a new, I don't think I've talked to, I don't think you were on the show last time I brought him up, but I was listening, I happened on to, who was interviewing him, Hugh Ross, Dr. Hugh Ross, and he's a astrophysicist or whatever, really smart.
Yeah.
Guy, and he grew up I don't remember what country, where he was, but wherever his family, when he was a child, when they were growing up, when he was in high school, they were in an area where there weren't a lot of Christians, so he really hadn't, you know, been exposed to Christianity, and he became very curious about it when he was, but he became obsessed with learning everything he could, and he said that there is proof of God. And it was just, he's very interesting to listen to, but it's, like I said, it's Dr. Hugh Ross. There's all kinds of things out there on him. But he had a question of the week. And it said, if decisions are made in our mind, how can we manipulate our brain to make a... Oh, that wasn't the one, though. That wasn't the one I was going to. It said, not evil for God. There was one that was pertaining to kind of what's going on. Doggone it. Pulled it up, and I must have deleted it earlier. Because I was going to read it. No, I don't know where I...
You know, they had Branson, they had the Zirko, the Mad Russian. Remember him? Kind of like comedian guy. Then they had another guy who played the piano with his feet.
Let's see.
Zirko, Mad Russian.
Mad Russian. Oh, that's where I remember he was. Glenn Beck interviewed him, and it was a really good. It was on Blaze News. You'd have to look it up. It's a very interesting session to listen to. Astrophysicist and founder of Reasons to Believe. So he basically became a believer because of science. So, you know. And he goes into detail explaining this stuff, and it's very intriguing. So it's I think it was this one, he had asked the question, does the universe really need a creator? I've heard that a quantum fluctuation could have created the universe, could it? And his answer is, he says, Physicists have shown that quantum space-time fluctuations can produce virtual particles. However, these particles very rapidly revert back into quantum space-time fluctuations. So the more mass of these particles, the faster they revert into quantum space-time fluctuations. For something as massive as the universe, the reversion time is less than, there's a 10, and it's got this little funky symbol, dash 120 seconds. Astronomers' measurements show that the universe is very much older than this. Furthermore, quantum space-time fluctuations require the existence of space and time. The space-time theorems prove that space and time are created entities. They had a beginning that coincides with the beginning of the universe. For a much more thorough answer, see my book, The Creator and the Cosmos. So, but anyway.
The thing is, how was space created?
We can give some theory on the universe,
but if space itself that's boundless, they say the universe is coming back into itself. It's collapsing.
Yeah.
The Earth will be burnt up by the sun. But the universe was expanding now. At some point, it's going to start going the other way, collapsing back to the infinite nothing. I don't know. I don't think I'll be around then. Maybe Proof will.
I don't know about that.
And Mr. Broccoli Man.
Oh, he'll be around. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got to get some of his books and read them. They're just very interesting because he is on Facebook under Hugh Ross, and I think his books would be
any topics along those subjects is very interesting.
Yeah,
but you have to have a very, very broad mind. If you get into the technical aspects of it, you really have to have a broad mind. But
the most interesting thing he talked about for me was his interpretation of like Genesis. He said, you know, everybody goes back to Genesis, and when he goes in them, he takes it from a. He said the point of focus is everything, so he takes it from a different point than most people, rather than God creating everything up from up above, he puts God down like below it to where everything is being created upwards. So it's just very interesting. So I don't know. I have to send you some stuff, but you're going to have to get your information to Proof so he can send it to me so I can send you things, contact you somehow. But you might find it pretty interesting. Or he can send you my stuff or whatever. So.
Well, it's about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I see that.
Time goes by fast when you're having fun.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in today.
No problem.
Any last words today, Christina?
No, I've probably talked enough.
Okay.
We'll let you say some things. Thanks for calling, Bianchi. It's always good to talk to you.
Same here. Right, you guys have a pleasant evening.
We'll be
you
back
too.
Again tomorrow. So everyone, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Ooze.